directed. Well, then, my Lord, he directs my path, and he does safely keep. He leads me gently on, well, now through this world below. And now he's a real friend to me, and now, I love him so. Well, now, I want to see him. Well, now, look upon his face. Well, now, there to sing forever. Well, now, of his sin-saving grace. Well, now, on the streets of glory. Well, now, let me lift my voice. Well, now, care. Will now home at last and ever to rejoice. Amen. We thank him. Invitation song will be 575. Oh, I want to see him. Will now look upon his face. Will now there to sing forever. Will now always
of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen, church. In about 3 minutes, we are going to start the video. This is my first time conducting this study in this auditorium. So bear with me. I'm going to just follow the script, and we'll make comments on the video. I don't want to steal the thunder and the message, but Brother Dan, that's the sermon. I'm not here preaching. They're going, oh, Brother Bill, you substitute preaching now. No, this is substitute moderating, okay? Yes, good to be here. One of the things about grace, it is unmerited gift. None of us deserve it. None of us. And it took Christ going through that turmoil. That's a polite way of saying going through a brutal crucifixion. Why it happened during that time? The Lord said that it was to fulfill this time, according to his word, several scriptures in the New Testament. But I want to start out here. Dan asked two questions with the study starter. He says, which of the 12 apostles can you best relate? Now, about four or five of them I don't know too much about, because we know that there's not much written about them. I'm looking at y'all. I hate to call names, you know. Now, I wasn't going to do this, and Margarita going to be upset. You know, in the military, we walk around an auditorium like this, you know. And, you know, that's because you don't want the soldiers to fall asleep on you when you're talking, you know. So I'm not going to do that. Dan says Peter. You know, I can relate to Peter because I'm pretty tight AAA to the infinitive power, those who know the law of exponents. But I'm just going to pick on Ben. Ben, who's your favorite apostle? Okay, James, okay. Anyone else? How many say Peter? Show of hands. I'm not going to call you. Okay. A lot of us, of course, we see ourselves in Peter. Peter is very, I'm going to put this down because everybody got kind of nervous. This guy might try something, but Peter had a lot of zeal. He was enthusiastic. He was impetuous at some times. And then you see question two, what is it about Peter that makes him so real? Because a lot of us, sometimes we insert foot in our mouth, don't we? You know. Yeah. Say that again, Sister Lynette.
He voiced his own doubt. I mean, he asked Jesus about things other apostles were afraid to say things.
Okay. For those who are live streaming, yes, Sister Terry.
I think we see some of the other apostles talking among themselves quietly. They're like, I don't want to draw Jesus' attention to this, but, oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to be great. And I know some of us might feel that way on some things, but Peter, he was out front, open, loud mouth, you know, a lot of us, so he knows.
Good comments. Anyone else? She said, okay. Oh, okay. All right, Morgan. Yes, sir.
He made mistakes.
All right, he made mistakes. And he vocalized, or there's not a verb for vivid. That's an adjective, isn't it? You know, he made the mistakes real, you know, so that's why we can relate to him. Kathy, we're going to start the video in about 30 seconds. Any other comments?
I could, you know, when Nathaniel said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I can see myself saying something like that.
Okay, all right. All right, anyone else?
Peter truly loved Jesus, and when the cock crowed and he remembered the words of Jesus, he repented truly with a broken and contrite heart.
Amen. Sure did.
I agreed about Peter. I think he could be really short-sighted at times, but he really did his best. He really, like, in a lot of things, didn't understand. He didn't understand why Jesus had to suffer. But at the same time, like, he truly chased and followed after Jesus, so with his whole heart.
Very good comments. Okay. All right, we're going to start the video in a few seconds. And please pay real close attention. It's a good video. Okay.
Theophilia lived a horribly difficult life. No, that's not a real name. You've heard it said, the names are changed to protect the innocent. That's what I'm trying to do. Protect someone who, by the grace of God, became innocent. So we'll call her Theophilia, which means lover or friend of God. Theophilia's family was deep into the drug culture. That's probably how she was introduced to the addiction that took hold of her soul and ruined her life. All her adult years, Theophilia had been in and out of jail from fighting or feeding that demon. And that's where we met her. Where I worship, several of our church ladies go to the local jail, and at least once a week, they will visit with inmates, create friendships, and engage in meaningful Bible studies that invest in lives that have been broken by mistakes. Theophilia was one of those inmates. I don't want to live like this anymore, she would say. She would encourage younger inmates. You don't want to be in your mid-30s or mid-40s like me. Look back on your life, and the only thing that you can see is someone that's been in jail. Well, Theophilia was finally released, and that same afternoon, she acted on her faith in Jesus. She was baptized and came to know the amazing grace of God. After her baptism, she stood with her lady friends and their husbands and asked if she could sing a song. She had the voice of a nightingale. So she started to sing about a bridge leading her to God. And it was such a precious moment, even the men were led to weep. That's beautiful, but that's not the unique part of her story. Our ladies took Theophilia home, where she began to live and care for an invalid member of her family. Her release from jail and her conversion took place on a Thursday. 7 days later, 7 days, Theophilia was found dead on her living room couch. She died from natural causes. Theophilia was a disciple of Jesus 1 week when she died and went to be with him. There's someone in the Bible very much like that. We know very little about him, but what we do know affords us two of the most encouraging lessons we find in Scripture. We know him as the thief on the cross. Here's his story. Luke 23, 39 to 43. One of the two criminals crucified alongside of Jesus railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong," speaking of Jesus. And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he that is Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus said truly. In Greek, the word is amen. It's a statement of certainty. We'd say beyond a shadow of a doubt. Jesus said truly, "I say to you." In the South, if we're addressing more than one, we say y'all. Here, Jesus' word for you is singular. He was speaking to this one man. Jesus said, "I say to you today," not one day, someday, the day after tomorrow. Death by crucifixion meant days of torment. But Jesus said today, as in something else is going to happen for you today. And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me." He promised that one man that they were going to be together somewhere before the day was over. And then Jesus said, "You will be with me in paradise." That was a Persian term used for an enclosed pleasure garden. The Greek translation of the Old Testament actually used it for the Garden of Eden. Now think of what those words must have meant to this one man and what they can mean to us. Here are those two encouraging lessons we can learn from the man we know as the thief on the cross. You're never too bad, and it's never too late or too hopeless for the grace of God. In the first place, you're never too bad for the grace of God. Luke identifies this man and apparently his partner as criminals, or more literally, bad doers. We'd say they're bad dudes. Matthew and Mark tell us what they did. They were robbers. And both began their protracted execution blaspheming Jesus like everybody else. According to Matthew, those who passed by derided, literally blasphemed him, wagging their heads. And Matthew goes on to tell us that the chief priest and the scribes and elders mocked him. And watch this, the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him. One of the two even became sarcastic and bitter. But the one we know as the thief on the cross made a drastic change and wanted something better. So despite the way he treated others as a thief, and despite the way he had treated Jesus as a blasphemer, he was offered the gift of God's heart. We're never too bad for God to be good to us. All of us can say with the Apostle Paul, "I was formerly, but the grace of God overflowed to me." 1 Timothy 1, 13 to 14. In the second place, it's never too late, too hopeless for the grace of God. This thief on the cross was in the process of being executed. We'd say he'd been arrested, arraigned, tried, found guilty, sentenced to death, had spent time in death row, and was now sitting on the electric chair, or strapped to a gurney with a lethal injection running to his veins. In other words, this man was prepped and ready to die. His circumstance was grim, seemingly hopeless, but the last day of his life, he reached out to Jesus with a heart of contrition, and Jesus reached right back to him with a heart of compassion. Grace. We should never think, "I'm just too old to come to Jesus." You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Hey, Moses was 80 years old when he started to lead Israel. Caleb was 80 years old when he went to war and conquered the high country of Canaan. Paul was an old man in prison when he wrote the New Testament book of Philemon. John was an old man exiled to the prison island of Patmos when he wrote the book of Revelation. We're never too old to serve God. And again, we should never think, God wouldn't want someone like me diseased and dying. I don't want people to think that I didn't want to die unready and I was afraid of death. Hey, the thief on the cross was afraid of death, and that moved him to do something about it. It's never too late for the grace of God to change your life and alter your destiny. Now, we might need to remember that the thief on the cross was granted salvation before Jesus died, while the Old Testament was still the law by which Jews lived. And he was probably a Jew. He knew about the kingdom of Jesus. But Theophilia was granted salvation after Jesus died and after he replaced the old law with the New Testament. So the grace of God flowed to their lives, but it did so through different avenues. Here's the beauty we see in both conversions. Theophilia was a follower of Jesus just 1 week. The thief on the cross was a follower of Jesus for less than 1 day. And both portraits are in the showcase of God's grace. I wonder, is yours there? Can you repeat the words of our memory verse, 1 Corinthians 15:10? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. If you really want to be sure, talk to your study leader. Ask that wonderful person what it means to believe in Jesus, to repent or change your life for Jesus, and what it means to be baptized into Jesus. You're never too bad, and it's never too late for you to enjoy beginning something great, something called grace, something that is simply incredible.
It doesn't matter if you're in the bottom of the ninth inning of life or just the beginning. It's never too late. One thing that struck me with the video, and you're free to comment, I wonder if that lady knew, you know, he said the names was changed to protect the innocent, Theophilia. I wonder if she knew that she was coming to the end of life. You know? See, we don't know where death is. But the thing is, she knew what she had to do to get ready for eternity. What are your thoughts on the video? Dan? Wait a minute, Dan. I want to capture everything. Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all's patience.
Dan was being very good with what is a popular false doctrine, that because the thief petitioned Jesus and got instant forgiveness and would join him in paradise, many teach that applies to us today. He made it clear that that's not the case. The Old Testament was still in force. Jesus was still talking and alive. And then Theophila, Saul of Tarsus, all of those that we find in the book of Acts are under the New Testament requirement to join the kingdom of God, experience God's grace. So I admire, he was being very precise and careful, and I'm calling attention to that in our study tonight, that what I have just said is absolutely essential, because misleading someone on the grace of God and causing them to believe they have it when they haven't done what the king commands through his word to enter the kingdom, that's mean. We don't want people to think they're saved when they're lost, having not done what the king in the kingdom requires of us. Back to you. Okay.
That's a good point, because we know we have to be baptized. Absolutely. And that's why it's very prudent for us to study the words. Any other comments about the video? I want to make another comment. Working with people that, when I was working at the Gainesville work camp, and it just struck me. This guy said, and I worked classification when I was in with the Department of Correction. He said, "I'm stupid, Mr. Bell. Maybe I need to just stay in the kitchen and not work out the gate." I said, "Hey, not going to call any names. He might be watching this." I said, "Hey, look, we got to exercise your custody. If you want to go to work release," just a real quick summary, "inmate has to pay court costs to lower the burden off the taxpayer. So that way they go to a work release center, to a job." I said, "Hey, look, you got to go out that gate and show you know how to hold a shovel and not strike out in anger or nothing like that." So bottom line up front, this guy was just verbally abused. "I'm stupid. I'm no good. I'm nothing." And I just felt real sad. That's the one case that I almost took the job home with me. Why do I bring this up? Same thing about this lady. And this guy was in his 40s. About 49 to be exact. Back somewhere around 2007, 2008. But I bring this point up to illustrate this. Man, there are some people out there that have it rough. Real rough. And you think that it just happened on those with lower socioeconomic? Look around your neighborhood. Go for a walk. You'll be surprised. But anyway, enough of that. I didn't mean to meddle. Any other comments on the video? I'm going to get back on script now. Okay. Do you notice something about sin? When you're trapped with sin, especially when you're possessed. And I'm going to give a case because it's very prevalent, even on the University of Florida campus, even in the military, and that's that legal drug, alcohol. Okay, I'm going to call it what it is. It's a legal drug. And once you get caught up in that, I've seen outstanding patriot soldiers, very compassionate to soldiers. Don't care if they're red, white, and blue, purple, green. But that alcohol destroys them. Pull them in. Some you can save, some you can't. But the effect of sin is that it will soak up all the joy and zap out all the passion, the joy of life. And that's what we saw with this lady in her mid-40s. But she put Christ on in the right time. So she in the waiting room paradise. She lived faithfully those 7 days, you know. You're never too bad. You're never too late. You're never too hopeless for God's grace. See, Satan has a knack to whisper sweet nothings. If we're not careful, why go to church? It's cold out there. Why don't you enjoy the NFL playoffs? And while you're at it, go ahead and have a cold one. I'm serious. Satan is a good master in what he's doing. Liar. Here's the first question. Study harder. When Jesus taught the apostles to forgive others, what did Peter want to know? And we're looking at Matthew 18:21. Many of us, we know what that verse is about. How many times I have to forgive them, Lord? 7 times. 7 times 70, you know. How often do we have to do that in Matthew 18:21? Now, if you have children, it might be a dozen times a day. Yes, Dave, hold on. Hold that thought, please. Thank you.
I've shared this before, but I'd like to share it again. Is the Lord asked us to forgive 7 times 70 times, and I don't think we count up to 490 and say, well, that's 491, so no more forgiveness for you. But my point is if that is what God expects of us, how much more he forgiving us just continuously, as long as we'll confess our sins and repent. You know, we've got our part to play, but the Lord's forgiveness doesn't run out because you've done this thing just one time too many. Right. Not if he asks us to just keep That's on. Right. That's right. How much more God?
Amen. Thank you, Dave. I think it's in Luke, Matthew. I mean, if I don't forgive, how can I expect God to forgive me? I must reciprocate that same graciousness, forgiveness. You know, it's no choice. We call ourselves disciples. Yeah, I know they wallow in sin probably deeper and more than we.
There's a unique thing about forgiveness. It releases you. When you don't forgive another person, in a sense, they live rent-free in your head. They control you. And when you say, I am going to forgive you, whether you voice that to the individual or tell the Heavenly Father, I forgive my brother in Christ. I forgive my sister in Christ. It releases. That's done. That Jesus paid that debt, and I'm going to forgive your debt because of what the Lord did to me. It releases you, and that's a new idea, that forgiveness helps our hearts be at peace. Excuse me.
Any other thoughts on that forgiveness? Dave is right. It may have to be 490,000 times, especially if you're a spouse. I don't want to make any confessions here. Any other questions? Okay, when others hurt us, if we are a lot like Peter, we might need to revisit Mark 11:25. Mark 11:25 reads, and when you were standing praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. You know, so we don't want to stop the blessings from flowing. When Jesus alerted the apostles to his upcoming mistreatment and death, what was Paul's response? I'm sorry, that should have been, what was Peter's response? That's a mistype on my behalf. Many of us are familiar with, that's right, you know. Here's a good one here on judging others. Now, I'm going to ask a question before I go into this. As Christians, aren't we supposed to discriminate? Now, think about what the word discriminate means. Yes, we are. A holy discrimination. Let me fix that for you. A holy discrimination. I think it's Psalm 7:11 or 5:11 somewhere. You know, it's all right to be angry if it's a holy anger. You know, vengeance is yours, Lord. Please help Ukraine overrun Russia. That's one of my prayers. I just shared a prayer with you. Yep. That's one of my prayers, you know. But the point I'm trying to emphasize is, so when we read Matthew 7:1, do not judge or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your eye? You know, I remember Marshall Keeble listening to a tape. I didn't hear him preach. My dad and grandfather did. But, you know, he said, hey, why are you worried about the Q-tip in one of your brothers and sister eyes and you have a big telephone pole sticking out yours, you know? Yeah, so we got to be, we don't want to be too critical, jumping to conclusions. Any other questions or comments? All right. Well, in about a minute, we're going to sing the invitation song softly and tenderly, then be led in prayer by Brother Bill. I appreciate this. It was a good 8-minute sermon. And are there any questions, anyone, any prayer needs? Okay. Brother Adrian, if you'll go ahead, and we're going to get ready to conclude the lesson. Thank you for coming out tonight. Let me put this back.
Will you please stand? Stand. Everybody stand. Please stand at this time. Once again, 577. 575. You'll sing the first verse. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home.